When God made Adam, He made Adam in His image and in His likeness. Okay? So He made Adam, He blew the breath of life into man. Man was made in the image and the likeness of God. Then God said to Adam, you can eat of the tree of life, or you can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I advise you to get my series on the fulfillment of the law from my website, or to order it, where I explain why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was planted there. Because if you think God planted that tree to test people, my goodness, you'll never be able to believe in Him. You cannot believe in somebody that is trying to test you. Let me say that again. You cannot believe in someone that wants to test you. Do you believe in your school teacher? No, no. You tolerate your school teacher. You know that I... Because, I mean, who of you after school, I mean, you still go to school because you just love the teacher? Nobody. You know, even when I was in school, I believed that my teacher had the ability to teach me, but I also knew that there will come a day when she will test me and she'll be the one that can disqualify me. So there was always that professional relationship. It was never a friendship relationship like what I had with my buddy. You know? So, if we come and think that God planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil just to test man, I want to tell you, you're missing it. That's not why it was planted there. Now, I don't have time to go into that now. But there was a reason why that was there. And that was not to purify you. It was not to make you holy. That was not so that there could be another option. There was nothing like that. It was therefore... it's complicated to explain now. But go and get that series and it will bless you. So God made man in His image, in His likeness. But man decided... You see, we must realize, and let me just say this. If you are in the image and likeness of God, if you are like God, you've got a free will. And that is the way it is. If you don't have a free will, you're not like God. Finished. So when God made Adam and Eve, when He made Adam in His image and in His likeness. And God says to Moses, I am the Lord God. I choose who I bless, and I choose who I'm merciful. I'm merciful who I want to be merciful. I'm gracious to whom I want to be gracious. And He's called I Am, and out of I Am, He has got His own will. He decides if He wants to make a man or not make a man. And then He made man exactly like Him to also function like God by deciding, decision, having a free will. You cannot, if you take free will out of a man, you are taking godliness out of a man. You cannot take that out of man. You know, we are not we are not rape victims by God's love. He will come with His great love, in all His love, make everything possible for you. But when He treats you as the God type and gives you your choice. That is it. And that's not a work of the law. That is honoring your design. And I want you to understand that God gives us that choice. And that is the way it is. Otherwise, if I come to you today, listen, if I come to you today and I tell you, listen, and this is why we preach this good news, and we want people to see the love of God so that it can prompt belief in their heart and they can say, I acknowledge Him as my Lord. Okay? That's how I see it. That's my view of Scripture. So, you need to have faith. It's very important. So, when God made man, He made man in His image, in His likeness, designed him in His way. Then man decided and said, I'm going to be like God by knowing good and evil. Now, God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that word eat in the New Testament is explained as the word believe. If you believe in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. But I want you to believe in the tree of life. In the beginning, man was made righteous, but lived by faith. A righteous man. God lives by faith today. Okay, and I've spoken about this in the first session, the importance of that and how natural it is for us. It's the God kind. It's not. It's everybody believes all the time. It's just you believe what information is in front of you. So here he comes. He decides to and says, I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to be like God by taking knowledge of good and evil. Meaning, I will do good and the good that is in my life will define me and declare me as God. So now man will be like God by doing good and bad. So now who implemented the system that says you must do good to be like God? Adam. It originates between God and man. It's man's contribution to be like God. And he implemented a system between God and man which defines man in his works. So that thing then man thought, well, I'm okay. Then they said, well, God, give us laws that we by our flesh can qualify. They repeated what Adam and Eve did. Then God came and he wrote down laws for them. 10 commandments. Just 10. He could have given 2. Or just 1. You know? And he gave these commandments, gave it to them. And the purpose of the law, the very purpose of the law was so that you can sin. No, Bertie, but you're taking it too far. Let's read it. The purpose of the law is not righteousness, people. The purpose of the law is not to bring forth holiness in your life. That's not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law, listen to me, and maybe some of you hear this for the very first time, and I want to make myself clear. The purpose of the law, it was the catalyst that your flesh needs to sin exceedingly. It's clear in Romans 7. Romans 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's only about explaining that the law's purpose is to serve as a catalyst or an activator of sin in your life. Bertie, but I thought I'm going to be holy by the law. Now let's read what Paul said in Romans 7. So why would God give a law? This is the first thing. Why would God then give the law? Bertie, but the Bible says the law is holy. Oh yes, the law is holy. The word holy means to be separated unto. It has been separated unto the purpose of magnifying sin in your life. It's been holy unto that. So the law is holy and perfect. And let me tell you, the law stands for holiness. So the things it mentions is not sin. I mean, it's good. The things it mentions is not contrary to the nature of God. So the law is not sin, but the law has got a purpose. So in the same way, so if the law serves its purpose, you know, you can say the law's worked in my life. So if you try to do the good by the law and you don't get it right and feel miserable, feel I cannot do it, and the harder you try, the more sin you commit, I want to tell you the law is serving its purpose. It's working perfectly. God's will is accomplished by getting you to sin. Now, Bertie, that's a radical way of saying it. Let me explain. Now that I've got your attention. Let's read it so that we can see the scripture. So, let me first explain. Yes, man. Man says, I'm going to be like God by my works. Can man be like God by his works? No. But yes, man, thinking he can. But now there's nothing for him to do by which he can now be like God. So now God comes and he says, well, you've implemented the system that says, by your works, you are like me. And then they've asked God, now give us something that we can do so that we can please you and be like you. Now God says, okay, let me give you these ten things. When God gave it, he said, when I give it to them, then they will see they cannot do it. then I can, then they can call on me and I can save them and make them like me by my work. So let me put it and give it to them. So he writes it down, gives it to them. I mean, gave it to them for a long time. So they can be sure. They cannot do it. I like what Joseph Prince said. They said, why did God take so long from the giving of the law until Jesus? He said that people can be sure they cannot make it by the law. Very sure. So here he comes and man cannot be justified by the works of the law. So God said, okay, for you to be saved, let me take this law out of the way. How will the law be taken out of the way? The law says a man will be righteous once it can, once he is like God in the flesh. In his flesh. So God says, okay, I'll incarnate myself into human flesh. And when I do that, then I meet the requirement that man placed for the law. By being that law and righteous in human flesh. Then he died. So when he died as the law man. Okay? So that there is no more man. In God's perspective, relating to God on the basis of law. Yeah. It's no more man. Everything has been included or put under Christ. Amen. Like when the new law came in South Africa, when the apartheid law was implemented, all of man had its stand in as pertaining to the apartheid law. Isn't it? You were either blessed by it or cursed by it. But your stand was in that law. In the same way today, all of man's stand is pertaining to Christ, not the law. You can either reject what is done or accept what is done. As simple as that. But he's done it for you. It's not that he hasn't done it. So now, what did Jesus do? He came and he fulfilled that law for us. So that it can pass away, the Bible says. So when there's a law, the law says, you shall do these things, then you shall be called righteous. Once you've done it, you don't need the law anymore because you're now righteous. The best way to explain this is through prophecy. The Bible says Jesus came to fulfill the law, but he also came to fulfill prophecy. So how is a prophecy fulfilled? If there's a prophecy that says Bertie Brits will preach in Durban area this time, and now I've preached here. I mean, am I still going to say, well, there's a prophecy? Am I still putting the prophecy on the fridge? Saying, look at the prophecy. No, no. I take the prophecy, throw it away. Because it's got no more power. It's fulfilled. It's done. It's come to its accomplishment. So what the law could do, Jesus accomplished. So that it's now passed away. You don't ever look at it. It has been fulfilled.
That's if the law... law has been removed of all of mankind, and everyone is now in right standing with God in relation to the law. Does that make everyone then saved and born again?
No, it does not, and I will explain it. So what happens is, if we are, and that's a complicated thing to explain, but I want to explain it. Let me just finish this. So what happens is, once that law is fulfilled, there's a new type of man before God. What is this new type of man? It is a man that finds his righteousness by faith and not by the works of the law. So there was a man before God that was righteous by his works. So what work was there? I have to work all these things and be holy in my works to qualify to God's standard to partake in eternal life. So now man could not. So God came and he killed that man by dying a legal death, like I explained in the previous session. When that man died, the Bible says, can a nation be born in one day? A whole nation. Yes. A nation can be born in a day. We see it all the time. So how much more with God? Yes, a nation can be born. What was born in 1 second before God? The man that's justified by faith. So, Now, this is my definition, my theory, which I believe God believes in. When Jesus came, stood up out of the grave, there was, I mean, when he died, the law man died, a new type of man is before God. Everybody now today was born, a new nation was born. There was Jews, there was Gentiles. That died now. There's now only one man before God. And that's the one that has got access into grace by faith, not by the works of the law. So, yes, a new nation was born, but the new birth that we see as the born again, I believe, is when you believe in Christ. Like I said in the previous session, that belief manifests a new man in your life. That is born of God. John chapter 1 verse 12. Not born of the will of the flesh, not born of blood, not born of the will of man, but born of God. He says to everyone that has accepted Him, He has got the right to say, this man that's born in me is born of God. The other one that lives a holy life, but has not accepted Christ, cannot say that life is born of God. It is born out of the will of the flesh. John chapter 1 verse 12. That's my way. Does it answer you? You know, is everybody... Yes, the whole of mankind is born into a new type of man, which is justified by faith. But the born again experience that we have today, you need faith, otherwise not. Impossible. By that persuasion in your heart, you know, that manifests. Otherwise not. Let's read John chapter 1 verse 12 quickly.
Isn't it a little bit like what you were doing earlier when you knelt down and offered a ring? You were free to offer the ring.
Yes. That's it. That's exactly. So she was a certain type of woman. That woman is a married woman. Then in one day, she became a different type of woman. She became a free woman. And then she's offered with the ring so that she can become a married woman again, but to a different man.
But if she's not persuaded, she can say no.
She can say no, of course, and have her way, because we're the God type. You know, so... Okay, let's just read John chapter 1 verse 12 there. And then I'm going to step off this. It says, but as many... as received Him. Go and study the word receive there. The word receive is the word to grab a hold of with a purpose to make use of. Study it in Thyre. That's what it literally means in the Greek. Receive is not an acknowledgement to. Receive is to grab a hold of, to use. So here I am presented with a message that says, I all my life I've been in the lie thinking I'm justified by my works. The truth comes, I'm presented with the truth, now I make use of it. God is not going to rape you into a relationship with Him. That's not mercy. And let me explain it to you. If there's a prostitute, she's abused, she's in drugs, she cannot get free. I come now and I say, I set you free from this curse you're under. Okay? I set you free. I buy you a house, I buy you a car, I do everything for you. It's done. I come to you. I whatever money you owe the pimps, I pay them. It's paid for. You're free, legally free from their law. You're free. If while she's drugged, you know, I come and I impregnate her. And she wakes up. I tell her, listen, I want to tell you, you are now not under the pimps anymore. You are now married to a good man that has already impregnated you with his child. You're now bearing my child. What do you call that? That's rape, man. If you honor her in your own likeness, you will say, I bought you free, but will you marry me? Otherwise, you don't see her as your type. I hope you understand my reasoning and how I reason, you know, in this. Because I believe God places a very high value on our design. He lost His breath over it. You know, so he's not going to break that. We're the God type, man. We're the God type. So I think that is the... And when we present it with... When a world is presented with a God... Listen, if you tell me, Bertie, you... this school where you're in, you don't like this school. You shall go to that school. Say, I'm a school kid. Or you don't like this university. Or you don't like this car. I drive an old beaten up car. I'm irritated with a car. Now I come to you, I say, you shall not drive that car. I take it and I burn it and now I buy you this one. You shall now drive this one. Man, you spent 150,000 rand on that car. It would have been nice if you asked me and said, here's 150,000, what car do you want? You would have really honored me. But if you say, you shall not have this, you shall have this, you still see me as a slave. I'm not free. I'm controlled. I'm controlled by this person that I've got no... You see, the thing is, if we control... Control is not defined by how bad the thing is you control them with. If I control you with drugs, it's not control because it's drugs. If I control you with good things, it's also control. Jesus Christ came to set man free to be who he was in Adam.
Hallelujah.
In one day. And we can declare that to every man. They can now live by belief. You can eat again. When man was under the law, he had no choice to believe. No choice. He had to do. But Jesus Christ set man free to his original design, which is to believe. To say, well, I hear this truth. Hallelujah. I feel it rise in my heart. It's natural for me. Yes, Lord, I walk. Like my wife says, how wonderful is it for you to say, I could accept the proposal. You know? Imagine, Helena and I mean, sometimes I'm a bit of a strong-willed guy. So I say to her, listen, we're getting married next in 2 weeks. You know, or in 3 months. We're getting married. But she loves me. She wants to marry me. But she never had the privilege to live who she is by saying, yes, I want to marry you. I don't honor her. I don't love her according to my way of understanding love. It's love is honoring that person for who he really is. You know? So, and the only way for the God kind... to be honored as the God kind is in free will. There's no other way. I hope you understand what I... My does that answer your question?
Yeah, okay.
Right. I had to study scripture very long to get up, come up with that answer. Really? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now, the law system, what does the law do, Romans 7? It brings forth sin in your life. Joseph Prince says it so nice. He says, you take if you take your child and you put a bowl on the cupboard. Last night we discussed this. And she looks at the bowl, she never worries about the bowl. But the moment you say, for no reason in life, you ever look in that bowl, you'll find that law empowering the disobedience in her life. And that's what God does when He gave the Ten Commandments. To empower your disability so that man cannot believe in his own ability anymore. But the purpose of the law was that you will not believe in your own ability. But unfortunately, through wrong understanding in church and in many other circles, Muslim, Islam, Buddhist, whatever, it's been twisted into such a law system that we think that that is the way unto salvation. Okay? It is not the way into salvation. It is the way unto death. You know the Bible says in Proverbs, there's a way that seems unto life, but the end is death. That is quoted again by Paul in Romans 7. He says, the law that I thought was unto life, I found to be unto death. Let's read it in Romans 7, before he sidetracked me there. Thank you for asking. Romans 7. Now, let me just explain this. When the Bible talks about flesh, most of the time it talks... You must realize, if I say to you, you are in the flesh, our church, the church people understand, you're in the flesh, you're looking at a woman you're not supposed to look at. You know? Or you're rebellious against your pastor. Now you're in the flesh. You know? Or you don't want to submit to the new law in the church. You're in the flesh. No, that is not in the flesh. That is not obeying your church law. In the flesh, according to the Bible, what the law people, what the Jews understood was, I stand before God in the flesh. Meaning that because I'm a Jew, I am accepted before God, or because I'm a Gentile, I'm not. As pertaining to my physical flesh. And then, when you were a Jew in the flesh, you said, well, I'm God's people because I'm a Jew or an Israelite. I'm God's people, and God gave these wonderful laws for us by which we can be blessed. So that's being in the flesh. Is actually, you can take the word being in the flesh and say to be under the law system. Okay. Self-effort. Yeah. In the flesh, by human ability to be like God. Human ability to try to get the breakthrough from God towards you. Okay. Right. So here he comes in Romans 7, and he says, for when we were, let's read verse 4, wherefore my brethren, you are also become dead to the law. Now imagine Paul now, you must remember, he writes to Jews and Gentiles in Romans, in Rome. He says, listen, we have become dead to the law. You go to a Jew, you tell him, listen, or go to a Muslim if you want to understand how the Jews really live, you can look at the Muslims. Tell them, we've become dead to the Quran. My goodness. They will say, have you lost your mind? Kill the guy. Now, it's too late. Kill him. So it's like, my goodness. So Paul comes, he says, listen, we've become dead to the law through the body of Jesus Christ. We don't have to live by the law. Now listen to verse 5. For when we were under the law, the motions or the passions of sin which were by the law. Okay, the motion and the passion of sin in your life which were by what? By the law. That worked in us to bring forth fruit unto death. Remember, he just said here that God wants to marry us that we can bear forth fruit unto life. So he says, we have become dead to the law because when we were under the law, we were bearing fruit unto death. But now Christ wants to marry us. We believe in Jesus. When we believe in Him, the fruit of God will be in our life. But when we were under the law, the fruit of death was in our life. Now Paul wants to explain it further. He says, but now we are delivered from the law, not being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, and not the oldness of the law, or the letter. What shall we say then? And I don't want to read, let's read verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? No. I would not have known sin but by the law. I wouldn't have known lust. Now this is what Paul says. That Paul, the apostle, wouldn't have known lust except by the law, that said, you shall not covet, quoting one of the Ten Commandments there. Verse 8, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, or by the law, wrought in me all manner of lust, for without the law, sin was dead. So, the law is the license your flesh needs to sin. The law is a license to sin. Proven from the Scripture. Paul says, listen, I know this is radical. Maybe you hear this for the first time. Put that safety belt on. Say, God help me. I need to understand this. You know, help me, Lord. I remember this time when they say, you know, the law is fulfilled. I remember I was in Bible school. People said, no, the law is fulfilled. I said, yes, but Jesus didn't come to break the law. He only came to fulfill the law. And then he lifted the standard, telling us how important the law is. My goodness. He lifted the standard so that you can sin more. For those who doubted. I mean, Peter comes. He says, Lord, you know, shall I forgive? How many times shall I forgive my brother? And then he thought, you know, I've already forgiven this guy now 3 times already today. So he comes to ask and he now wants to kill his brother. So Jesus said, no, 7 times. My goodness. 7 times, Lord, increase our faith. Then later on, Peter thought, now I can make this 7 times. He comes in Matthew 18. He says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive again? 7 times? He says, no, 70 times 7. So if later on he could have made it and said, Lord, shall I forgive 70 times 7? Jesus would have said, no, 70 times 700. Because the purpose of the law is to show your inability and make you sin. Even Jesus used it for that purpose. So that they can say, who can then be saved, Lord? That Jesus could say, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. This whole thing is about law and grace. The whole thing. Amen. So here he comes in Romans 7. He clearly states there, and he says that a sin finds its occasion by the law. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the power of sin is in the law. If you want people to really sin, put the law down on them. That's why God did it. So that people could sin. Now it says in Romans 5, the last part, it says, now where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It goes to chapter 6 verse 1. Shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. What does it say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Under the law, grace abounds. Okay. So, under the law, sin abounds and grace abounds even more. Now he says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? What is he actually saying? Shall we now continue under the law so that sin can abound, that grace can abound? No! Get rid of the law so that sin cannot be in your life anymore. Amen. And believe in Jesus that you can have God's life in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that a new life can be born into you. Listen, a holy life is not decided by you to live. It is born into you. It's born into you. You find yourself pregnant with a new life. You find yourself giving birth to a new life because God has birthed a new life into you. Amen. When you come to the point where Paul says, it is not I who live this life. I want to just tell you, under the old law, it was I who did all these good things. But I want to tell you, these good things you see now, it is God that birthed God into Paul's body. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to tell you, and I know for us that's believed grace now for a long time, I think the born-again experience is much more than just something spiritual. It's something that happens in your life. Amen. That I can feel every day. Amen. A new life is born into me. Amen. A new life is born into me. Now, Now, we are grown ups here. Let me explain this way. If I am intimate with Jesus, you know, and He's intimate with me, out of intimacy, oneness of flesh, what's born into my life? The life of God. Isn't it? When a man and woman comes together, they become one flesh. And then she conceives and bears your children. Now the church had this big thing of, we must just bear fruit, we must just bear fruit, we must just bear fruit. Now when my wife and I, when we got married, we had a vision to bear fruit. We wanted children. So if I go to Zambia and I preach there for 3 months and I come back and my wife comes running to the gate and says, honey, I've got good news, I'm 5 weeks pregnant. I said, are you mad? What has happened? You've destroyed your life, my life, the ministry's down the drain. Nobody's ever going to understand this, that it was your fault, not mine. What are you busy with? She says, why are you angry? Our vision is to bear children, and here it is. You wanted fruit, here's the fruit. And the doctor says, it's a healthy baby. They say that he's even more healthy than the other one that was from you. Then you find a new definition. You're not saying, lovey, the vision is that we will bear fruit. No, no, the vision is that you'll bear my fruit. Let's define the thing. Go and sleep with Moses, you'll have some kids, man. Yeah. Abraham had Ishmael. Maybe Ishmael was stronger than Isaac. More beautiful. Could run faster. Was not the son of the promise. A good life doesn't say it's born of God. God's vision was never that you will do good things. God's vision was that He will live in you. I tell you, that is something that twists our legal minds. It's like, ah, Lord, help me. Now we come. I was in the US. I said to the people, you know, we don't give money. We don't give money to get. We get because God's a giver. Okay? And our mind is at rest and our heart has got the capacity in the revelation of His person to receive from Him. You know, listen, when I was in that, when that plane ticket thing happened to me, I couldn't now look at some seed that I've got in the ground now and hope it's coming up now. I needed a God that loves me. Okay. And there's some things, I shouldn't get into the financial thing now because it's going to miss the point. But so all I want to say is we believe in a God that provides for us. And when I give, I said to people in America, when you give because of generosity that's birthed in your heart because of a couple of things. Number one, the revelation of who you are. Fear for not having is taken away in the revelation of who God is. Amen. And that generosity is, that's who I am, man. And I'm not going to kill this new person that's living in me. I find it in some churches, you know, you find the generosity coming in the heart. People feel, oh man, this grace message is so good. I want to give $1,000 for this grace message. Hallelujah. I feel it. Then they say, you shall not come out here. I'm killing this giving thing because I've been so hurt in the past through this giving teaching. So I shall have nothing to do with it. Listen, man. Sooner or later, thy vrou kan maar knyp so lank sy wil, maar die babietjie gaan gebore word. Amen. It's going to happen to you anyway. You're going to be generous anyway. So just give in to it, man. Don't fight the thing. That's who you are. So I said to them, so the one guy said to me, he doesn't believe in that. Because look at the good fruit that they produced through all this manipulation teaching, you know. I said to him, listen, the bigger your church, the bigger the memorial you've raised to your adultery with Moses. The bigger... The bigger your church that you've built under the manipulation, the bigger memorial you are raising in great happiness for your adultery with Moses. I've got a son. It's not the Son of God, but at least I've got a son. It's born out of manipulation, manipulating people. No. We want the fruit of God in our life.
Absolutely.
We want the fruit of God. And Jesus qualified you 100%. He revealed His original design by what is done in Jesus, by taking the law lid that made you dirty off, and He delivered you from that system so that you can be married to Christ. And out of oneness of flesh, what is oneness of flesh? Paul says, and this is what happens in his life, there was a time when the law lived in him. But when he came and he said, I unify myself 100% with the body of Jesus. If He's got a physical body, I've got a physical body. I make myself one with His body. Meaning, what's true in Him is true in me. He said this way in Colossians. That the fullness of the Godhead indwells Jesus Christ in a human body. And because I've got a human body, the fullness of God is in me. Amen. That is when a man and a woman comes together, they'll become one flesh. When you become one flesh with Christ in your belief, you'll find the fruit of God in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, man.
Amen.
This is the gospel of Jesus Christ setting people free. This watered down message of behavior modification of 5 steps to be a better you. I don't care how big your church is built out of 5 steps to be a better you. It is not the fruit of God. All it is a fruit of is look at what the flesh can produce. You know, we built our church cash. So that the people of the casino built the casino. Cash. Does that define me? No. Thank God I could build it cash. If I did. I mean, I got a house for free. Does that change me from anybody here that buys a house? No way. Am I more blessed than you? No way. We can change the thing the other way around if you want to be lawful or law-minded. I didn't have the money to buy a house. So he's cursed. Never had the money to even buy a house. I've got the money to buy a house. Then I got the house for free. You say, no, he's blessed. I'm cursed because I must pay my house. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You get a brand new Mercedes. I'm blessed of God. But then the blessing falls away after 5 years. Now I'm cursed with this thing.
Volvo for life.
Volvo for life. But now that you drive Audi, brother, I must say you're blessed now. Audi is the best car. Bikes is Hayabusa. Sorry. So, people, let's understand what God has done for us. The problem is, and now I get into the message I want to preach. Is it okay? That biryani is not going anywhere. So, you'll have biryani again. I only come next year. So, the thing is, we think that if we read Luke 17, we see the disciples come to Jesus. They talk about forgiveness. They said, Lord, how many times shall we forgive? No, Jesus comes and talks to the disciples. He says, watch out for yourselves. If your brother sins against you and repents to you, 7 times you shall forgive him. They said, Lord, we don't say we will not do this. Just increase our faith. So they also believed faith. God gives us faith. Increase our faith. That we can do this commandment that you placed. Jesus comes and all of a sudden talks about something else. Talks about trees. He says, if you say to this sycamore tree, Murbay boom, be cast into the sea, it will be uprooted by the roots and will obey you. I mean, why is he saying that? I mean, he's talking about forgiveness. Imagine I come to you, I tell you, listen, you shall forgive 7 times in one day. Well, Lord, you the Lord, I'll do it. Just give me the power to fulfill your law. You'll say to this tree, be cast in the sea, and it shall obey you. Oh, this Jesus guy, you know, he's like, what's wrong with him? All of a sudden, here's a tree now. Let's read it quickly. It's like, what did Jesus smoke? The people here in Durban, you know, terrible, man. Can't even joke alone. Let's go to Luke. Luke 7, I think it's in Luke 17. Amen. So the law system, just to recap, the law system was something implemented by man, written down by God. God says this system brings forth sin in people. So I wrote it down that they can see that they are sinners. I paid for their sins even. So God brought something that could bring forth sin, but paid for that sin. Delivered them from the law system so that as believers they can have access into this power of God. Okay? Because He wants us to live His life. His original design was, I live in you. Not you try and copy me.
Sure. Very good.
I live in you. Okay, didn't make man to copy God. God didn't want a copy. He wanted the real thing. He wanted man in His image and His likeness. If you copy God, you're not like God. If God is in you, you like God. For there's only one God. Okay, right. Luke 17 verse 1, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If you repent, forgive him. Now, this is still the law, Old Testament. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he trespass against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again and say to you, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So what do they want to do? They say, Lord, raise the standard to whatever you want. But empower me to do it, and I'll do it. That's what they believed. There was in Matthew, I think it's Luke 18, a bit further, or John 18, I'm not sure. There comes a guy to Jesus, to the temple, a Pharisee and a tax collector. They come to the temple. The Pharisee comes, he says, Lord, I want to thank you. So he comes with gratitude, acknowledgement that God empowered him. He says, I want to thank you that I am not like that sinner. I pray, I fast, and I tithe. I do it. And I'm not like... And does he say, I'm only that by my own power? No, no, he says, thank you, God. Thanks be to God that I am not like that man. I pray, I fast, I tithe. So God, you gave me the ability to keep the law. So when he left home to meet with a God that will empower you to keep to the law and that will bless you if you keep the law. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The other guy, the tax collector, he left home to go and meet with a God that's good to sinners. Not a God that empowers you to do the law, but a God that is good to a sinner. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. So he believed that God can treat people better than they deserve, even if they broke the law. The other one believed in a God that cannot bless you if you break the law, but that will empower you to do the law and then bless you. So Jesus said, I want to tell you, the tax collector went away justified, rather than the Pharisee that was empowered to do the law. So these things doesn't make sense. And I want to tell you, don't be tempted when you get into grace to think God wants to empower you to fulfill the law. He's done away with the law. There is no more law relationship with God. He's implemented God inside mindedness. That's what is implemented. From there we live our life. We don't look at what must we do. We look at who we are. And from looking at who we are, discovering the real us in Christ, we find God living in us. That's so far distantiated from trying to live right. It's worlds apart. It's heaven and hell apart. It's called light and darkness. It's a difference between God and Satan, man. That's the difference between these two lives. Yeah. The God inside living in me and me being empowered to try and do what God does. No. God's purpose was not to try and help you to fulfill the law. His purpose was in Christ the law was fulfilled. If ever you want to fulfill the law, when you believe in Him, you've qualified. But now the new life is in correlation and is in is manifested of Christ living in us. So here He comes. Lord, we forgive 7 times. Just increase our faith. He says, listen, if you say to this sycamore tree, be plucked up by the roots and cast in the sea, it shall happen. Now, a guy who obeys the law, you know, he looks like God, but it's not God inside. It is God, you show me, I'll do it. So you look just like God, but it's not a God fruit. It's a Moses fruit. Ishmael that has got the character traits of Isaac. Do you think Ishmael and Isaac looked like each other? They had the same father. They can look like each other. Isn't it? Yeah. So, in the same, out of the law, they can be good. And out of good works. And out of Jesus, they can be good works. But the one is born of God, the other one's not born of God. So now here is the thing. The one is real and the other one is a imitation or a fake. Now, Jesus comes. Man, go and study this in the Greek, you're going to be so blessed. He'll say to the sycamore tree. Now some preachers, layman interpretation say, sycamore, poverty, sycamore, sickness, sycamore. That's not the meaning, man. That word sycamore is a moerbeiboom in Afrikaans. It also means imitation. Yeah. It's a type of fig. It's not the real fig. It's a type of fig. It's an imitation. They said, Lord, give us the power to imitate You better. He says, you'll say to this imitation, be cast in the sea and it shall obey you. If you don't enjoy this, it's only God and me. You'll say to this imitation, be plucked up by the root. The root. Where the law got rooted. I'm not part of that Adamic thing anymore. I'm the Christ person now. Plucked up by the root. I've got no relation to God by the law whatsoever. I'm not defined by my works, good or bad. Yes. By the root, not by the fruit. It will be plucked out. You're not casting away the fruit. The root, the whole thing, gone. Right. Now will I explain? He explains better if you read Luke chapter 17 on. He says, listen, if you've got a servant working for you, and you tell him, go and do that thing in the field, and he comes in about 12. No, I'm finished. Are you now going to pay him? No. Are you going to bless him extra? No. Oh yeah, please go and wash the car and do this. Give him more job work, man. I mean, you've got the whole day left. Isn't it? Yeah. You must get him for the day. If you're finished with the work, you're still going to work. That's why some people just work slow. Because werk gaan nooit opraken, you know. Work's never going to be finished. There's always work. So, he comes, he finishes on the field. What will the master, Jesus says, will the master now bless him? He says, no, I don't think so. He will tell him, you serve me. You prepare for me and serve him more. And then after he served the master, then he'll go and prepare for himself. The master is not going to prepare for him. He'll prepare for himself at the end of the day. And then Jesus said, let that servant at the end of the day, who's done what he was supposed to do and has done more, say, I'm a worthless servant. For I've only done what was commanded me. So he was saying to them, you think you must forgive 3 times? Now I make it 7 times. You think, just give me the power to do the 7? He says, listen, even if you forgive 7 times, at the end of the day, say I'm worthless. Cast this system into the sea. Why into the sea? He says, he's buried my sins in the depth of the sea. And carried it far away. Hallelujah. So, what is our faith for? Our faith is to uproot the law system. One day Jesus had another thing with a tree. He walked on his way to Jerusalem. And I end off with this. He walked on his way to Jerusalem. And on the way to Jerusalem there was a fig tree. Now, what does a fig tree speak of? Fig tree speaks of man's effort to cover his own sin. In the Garden of Eden, they took fig leaves, tried to cover their own sin. Man's ability to clothe themselves with righteousness. Jesus walked up to this tree. There was no fruit on the tree. Some, you know, our Western minds sometimes. The Bible says it was not time for figs. Because if he went in the time of figs, he couldn't use the example. That's why I had to go in the times when there was not figs. So he went, he says, okay, here's a fig tree, speaking of man's effort to cover his own sin and clothe himself with righteousness, but it doesn't have fruit. Saying, by man's effort, you'll never be able to bear fruit. By your own effort to cover your shame, you will never be able to bear fruit. And he says, I declare this system cursed, and that no man will ever eat from it. But nothing happened to the tree right there, so they strolled off to Jerusalem. I mean, they were close to Jerusalem. They walked to come to Jerusalem, come to the temple. There they're busy buying and selling and whatever. He got the whip spirit on him there, cleaned out the place quickly. It was like a coup. It was. It says, and he didn't permit anybody to walk through there. So for a time he was like taking over there, you know, very angry, walking up and down, steaming with anger. Because they're selling the sacrifice, you see. They were selling sacrifices. So here people come with a sacrifice. Now your sacrifice is not good enough, but I'll sell you one. Making it not able for people to bring a sacrifice to get their sins covered. Oh, so you people that they don't want to make it easy for people to have their sins removed. I'll remove you.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Yeah, so he come in with a whip. He says, this system that you have, I'm going to remove that disqualification system. So after that, he didn't sleep in Jerusalem. Guess why? Because, I mean, I tell you, that they're angry now. Tonight we're going to kill him. So him and his disciples, they slept outside the city. So next morning, here comes the sun. So now they're just outside of Jerusalem on a mountain. There's a temple, everything there. Here they come. This is now Mark 11:23. I said to Jesus, Jesus, man, look at the fig tree. Now the sun is out. We're seeing the fig tree. Look at this fig tree. It's withered to the roots. It's dead. He says, listen, let me tell you something. If you have the faith of God, faith means persuasion. If you are persuaded the way God is persuaded, you will not just say to this tree, but you see that mountain there? What mountain? The one where the temple was standing on. With the whole law system and everything there. What he says? Be cast into the sea. And it shall obey you if you don't doubt in your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. It shall obey you. It shall be cast into the sea. So what he was saying, listen, this is just a tree, but you can say to the mother of it all, be removed. It shall be removed. Maybe you've got a tree sometimes, you know. I once had this little moerbei boom wanting to grow. You know, when you fly a lot, you look at the people. I don't know if you've ever been on an airport and you see the people in first class. Have you seen how they walk? I mean, they walk as if they're not in a hurry. I mean, hier's ons met ons trolleys by maar. Jy moet nie laat kom, jy vlieg, jong. First class, they're not flying without a first class guy. If he's checked in, they're not flying. They find him. He's first class. I mean, here he goes, first class. And they're in the back. So now you look at these first class people. A ticket to the US is like 100,000 rand. It's expensive. So, you think of that, and now, when you're flying, when I was going to the US, I did altogether 22 flights. So now you're busy, you're bombarded with this thing all the time. So now this wants to dictate to you, and tell you they're the blessed. You sit in the back there, you think, one day I'll also be blessed. Then, I use my faith, not for a car, not for a plane ticket. But I used my faith for what it was designed for. To uproot that tree. We've used our faith for wrong stuff. Just uproot the tree and you'll have peace. Hallelujah. You know what's the bad thing about that? Defined by where you fly. Even if it's a 12-hour flight from Germany to here. There comes a time in that plane where you hear those engines going, and then goes, and you feel that nose. Your blessedness is over. It's the beginning of the end. Huh? And when it lands, you cannot see the first guy class walking there anymore. He's gone. He's just disappeared. You stand there at the same carousel. You can't see who was first class and who wasn't getting your suitcase. Let's use our faith to uproot the law system in our life. Let us... Yes.
Sorry, now we've done that. How do I live this new life?
What do you mean?
I've uprooted the law system.
No, it's not something you do that will then happen to you. It happens to you, then you uproot the law system. Yeah. That's what happens. It's not you don't try to live this life. This life will live in you. So what happens is, now I come, when I come and I take and I say, this law system is out of my life. Like, let's use practical on the plane. Lord, God says to me, Bharti, you're not defined by where you fly in this plane. I am defining you. The resurrected Jesus defines you. That's who you are. Thank you, Lord. As I behold that, I find the new life living in me. Peace lives in me. It's not I do this, now I live a life. When I use my persuasion of what happened in the cross, which is the true definition of who I am, and I apply that in that situation, I find peace living in me. It's not I try to live in peace. Okay. Amen.